Today is a busy day. There's a lot going on today, and largely the reason there's so much going on today is because today we're remembering and celebrating and commemorating All Saints Day. Now, normally, traditionally, All Saints Day is the 1st of November, and it's celebrated usually the first Sunday in November, but for a number of reasons, we're celebrating it today, All Saints Day. A little bit later on in our service, we're going to be remembering those saints who have gone before us this past year, remembering their faith and the love of God that's shown through them. We're also going to be dedicating the columbarium out here, a resting place for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So as we begin, I'd like to pose a question to you. What is a saint? And so I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and since it's kind of dark in here, nobody's going to know how you voted, but you can choose one of these, all right? When you heard the word saint come out of my mouth, what was the very first thing that came to your mind? Raise your hand if you thought of some of those wonderful church fathers like St. John and St. James, St. Paul. How many of you thought of some of those really super Christians, you know, like Mother Teresa, who gave her life for other the good of other people? Raise your hand. How many of you thought of those loved ones of yours, your grandparents, your parents, maybe a husband or wife, or maybe even a child that has left this earth in death and gone to be with the Lord? Raise your hand. How many of you thought of that person that you know that though there's tons of tribulation and trial and difficulty and suffering in their life, that they're patient and enduring and joyful anyway? You know, that kind of person, say, boy, they must be a saint. How many of you thought of that? Okay, in all honesty, how many of you thought of the New Orleans Saints? I know there's a few football fans out there. You know, there's a lot of things that we think of when we think of that word saint, when we hear it. We use it in a lot of different ways, don't we? But today what I'd like to do is kind of walk through a Bible passage with you, do a Bible study together. So if you can get a Bible out of the pew rack in front of you and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, it's page 1241. Page 1241 in your Bible. I'd like you to follow along with me. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of a background. This letter was written, as we will discover, well, in fact, I'll read it to you as you're turning to verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. We learn from that verse that the one who authored and wrote this letter is a guy by the name of St. Paul, somebody we know as St. Paul. Paul was in prison. He was in Rome, and he was under the guard, the watchful attention and eyes of the Praetorian, the Caesar's guard, because of his faith. He was suffering because of being a Christian. And he's writing, as we learn from the next sentence, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ. So now he's writing to some saints. Now, if we were to think that these were saints like St. John or St. James or St. Peter, we're pretty sure that those aren't the saints that he was talking to, because number one, they weren't in Ephesus. And number two, if he was addressing them, he would address them by name. Instead, he's writing to the saints in Ephesus. We know that these aren't the dearly departed who've gone to be with the Lord, because otherwise, why would he be writing them a letter, right? So, what are saints, according to Paul? Well, let's read on. Look at verse 7 with me. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. You see, in these verses that follow, Paul is describing what it is to be a saint, what a saint is. And here he tells us that a saint is one who has been redeemed. Now, what does redeemed mean? Well, Martin Luther describes it like this. In the catechism class that we took, we learned these words. I believe in Jesus Christ, true God and true man, has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, that I may be his own. So what does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be purchased and won back. In other words, our debt was paid. And what debt did we owe? Well, we know we're sinners, right? And the wages of sin is death, as Scripture tells us. So the price, the debt that we owed, was eternal death for the sins that we have committed. That's what we deserved. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death. We were slaves to the power of the devil. But God sent His Son Jesus to pay the price. And what was the price? Not gold or silver. His holy, precious blood. The sinless Son of God took our sins upon His shoulders, carried them to the cross. And there He suffered the punishment, paid the price that you and I were required to pay. Our punishment, our death, our hell, He suffered for us. That's what it means to be redeemed. And what is a saint? One who has been redeemed. It's a free gift. Paul says it was lavished upon us. That means it was bestowed, given, gifted to us. Absolutely free. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. That's what he says in Romans. But there's more good news. Look at verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed by the promise of his Holy Spirit. You see, as we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no man can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I weren't even capable of believing in Jesus Christ on our own. Because as we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our trespasses. No dead body can do anything to help itself. And in our trespasses, in our sin, we were dead. We could not do anything on our own. But God gave us His Holy Spirit. He spoke His word into our lives. When we were brought to the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon us, took up residence inside of us, and He worked faith within us. And now we have this thing called faith, where we cling to and grasp the love of God. And we trust in it. We make it our own. And all this is a free gift. So what is a saint? A saint is one who's been redeemed. A saint is one whom the Spirit has blessed and gifted with the faith in Jesus Christ. A saint is you and me. You are a saint. I am a saint because of the faith our Lord Jesus worked within us. So now, back to the reading that we read just a little bit ago. We see Paul talking to these people in Ephesus and to the surrounding area. And he writes these words, because of this faith, because you are saints, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul is so thankful. It made his day, because evidently Paul had heard some news about these Christians in Ephesus and the surrounding area, that these people were faithful. He was thankful to God for two things. I want you to notice these two words. The first one is faith, and the second one is love. Now, as we think about those two things, faith and love, I think that St. Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, put those two things in order. Faith first, and love second. How often do we hear in our world today that, Josh, He's a good Christian. We could tell by the way he acts. Or so-and-so, I'm not going to point anybody out, must not be a Christian. Look how he or she acts. In other words, our world wants to define a Christian as being someone who does good things, who lives the life of a Christian. That the world's definition, and sometimes we fall into that same trap, that a world's definition is that a Christian is defined by the love that flows out of them. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that faith is primary. Faith comes first. What defines a Christian is someone who, even though he or she doesn't deserve it, believes with all his or her heart that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for him or her. That Jesus took their punishment on the cross for them so that they don't have to. That Jesus purchased and won them and redeemed them. That faith is what defines us, even though sometimes it doesn't always come out in the way we act and love. Now, it's important for us to understand what this word faith means. The English word faith comes from a Greek word that means someone who is in a stable stance. It's a picture of a sailor on the decks of a boat, tossed by the wind and the waves, and the boat's rocking, and he's got this wide stance, and he's standing firm, despite the fact that the world is rolling around him. That's the picture. Have any of you ever flown from DIA, taking a flight out of there? You know what I'm talking about when I say that you have to ride on that train between the main terminal and where the gate is where you meet your plane? Have you ever watched people on that train? I'm a hopeless people watcher. And so when people get on the train, those people that kind of know what's going on, they lean against the sides or they hold on to one of those poles or one of those handles on the train because they know what's coming when that train starts and stops, right? And those people that didn't get on soon enough to be able to grab a hold or lean on something, they're grabbing a hold of somebody else, right? Somebody else that might be stable. And then there's always one or two of those people that know that what's coming, and they weren't there in time to grab a hold of something, and so they've got their feet planted like this, right? The train's going this way, they're parallel to that, their feet are wide, and they're ready to roll with the train. And then there's always a few people that are unsuspecting. And the minute the train starts, right? And sometimes they grab a hold of somebody else that's near them for support. I think this is a picture, a modern-day picture of what Paul was talking about. He was so thankful for the faith that these people had, that they leaned on the promises of God, that they grabbed a hold by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit to this Jesus Christ who purchased and won them from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That they were there with a wide stance, standing firm on the grace of God, so when the trials and the tribulations would rock their world, that they were standing firm. And when they fell, when they failed, when they fell into sin, and they didn't fall in despair, rather, they grabbed a hold of the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were there to support one another. So when they were falling, they had someone else that they could grab a hold of. No wonder Paul was thankful. First and foremost, primary, comes that faith, that firm stance on the love of God. But then he thanked God also for their love for all the saints, their love for other people. A story is told of a young boy who was able to visit one of those magnificent cathedrals in Europe. He was visiting with his grandpa, and because the little boy was rather young, the two of them were going hand in hand, looking at all the sights and the majesty of this magnificent cathedral. The grandfather noticed that the little boy kept looking up at the stained glass windows that were around the nave of this particular cathedral. Thinking this might be a teachable moment, the grandfather looked at the little boy and he said, "Do you know who those men are that are in those stained glass windows?" And the little boy goes, "No." The grandfather said, "They're saints." The little boy said, "Well, what's a saint?" And the grandfather said, "A saint is someone who believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and then shared that love with other people so that they too could know Jesus as their Lord and Savior." Well, the little boy, being a little boy, his attention was soon diverted off to other things like the statues and the candles and the cross and other things that were in the cathedral. When it was time to go, they were walking out, and the grandfather looked down at his grandson. He noticed that the little boy was looking again at the stained glass windows. Just to make sure that the little boy caught a hold of what he'd been telling him, he said, "Who are those men in the windows again?" And the little boy said, "They're saints." And the grandfather said, "Well, what is a saint?" And the little boy says, "They're the ones that let the light shine through." Because of the faith that we have, the light shines through us, does it not? Because of the faith that Christians have, the light of God, the love of God shines through into the lives of others. Today, my friends, is All Saints' Day. We remember those who have gone before us, and we thank God for them, right? We thank God for them that they had that faith that moved them to stand firm on the promises of Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit came into them and worked faith in their heart, and that they loved us enough to share that faith with us. That they were able to stand firm on that faith through the good times and the bad times of life, all the way to the point where they were able to enter into the gates of heaven. We thank God that we experienced that love. The love of God shone through them and into our lives. And friends, I want to tell you today on this All Saints Day that I thank God for you. I thank God for you, for the faith that God has worked in your heart. I thank God for you that there will be a day when all of us will experience the glories of God, the great inheritance that He has in store for us. When He comes back down to this earth and He takes us all to be with Him in heaven, where we can be in His glory together forever. I thank God for you, for the faith that you shine, the love of God that shines through you. I go out in the community and I see people serving at Lutheran Medical Center and in other agencies and ministries and charities in our world. I see some of you making a dramatic impact on the people at your workplaces. I see some of you coaching and doing other things in our community that has an impact on children. I see so many of you teaching children and adults and serving around this place, making this place an attractive place for others to be. I thank God for you, for the faith that God has worked in your heart and for the love of God that shines through you. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying the very same prayer that Paul is praying. And I want you to hear what that prayer is. Number one, I'm praying that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him is yours. That you spend time in His Word. And that you get to know the heart of God. And that in all of that, you understand and know personally how much God loves you. I'm praying that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, that He will enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you would understand what God's riches are in His inheritance. Now, we're talking about the inheritance of God, not ours. God's goal in life, His whole purpose for existence is to spend eternity with you. That's his heart's desire. You are God's riches. You're the thing that he's looking forward to in eternity the most. I hope you understand that. And third of all, I pray that you would understand the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. I hope that you know the depth and the width of God's love for you, a love that moved him to offer the supreme sacrifice. His one and only begotten Son died on the cross for you and me. I hope you know that intimately. And I hope you know the power of this God who loves you. That nothing, nothing, nothing will ever be able to separate you from his love. And you want proof that he has power? Notice that that cross is empty. And so is the grave. This great God has the power over life and death. He has the power over Satan and his minions. He has power over sin. He's not going to let anything take you away from him. That's my prayer for you. And if I may be so bold, I would like to ask you whether you would also pray for me. Deal? Why don't we pray now? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for working faith in our hearts and calling us your children, calling us saints. We thank you, Lord, for the love that shines through your church and your people wherever they go. And even when we fail, that you lift us up and you polish us off, clean us up, and then you send us out again. Lord, we thank you for those saints that have gone before us this year. We thank you for the faith that brought them into your presence. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you blessed us with through them. We ask you, Lord, that you would comfort those who mourn. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give us the assurance of that salvation that is ours. And Lord, may we know you deeply by spending time in your word. May we avail ourselves of your gifts of baptism and Holy Communion. And Lord, we pray that you would help our hearts to see you through the eyes of our hearts, through that faith that you have worked in us. And Lord, may we rely upon your love and your power from now until the day that we meet you face to face. Lord, I pray for all your saints throughout the world. I pray for the saints here in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep them steadfast, standing firm with a stable stance upon your word and your love and your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.